B-Pod Studios.
Casper and Murray have scorching hot takes, twisting your mind with Pat Celtics and Bates. They'll also talk socks and out-of-town fame. Just call them up on this Saturday. Casper!
Hey, Murray.
Casper!
Hey, Murray.
Just call them up on this Saturday. Casper!
Hey, Murray.
Casper!
Hey, Murray.
Yes, yeah, 6 straight days of radio for the kid. Casper and Murray, 98.5, a sports hub from the Town Fair Tire Studio. Yes, Jim Murray here and Chris Casper as well. Welcome back from vacay, pal. Hi.
Hey, good to see you. What's up? I am fresh back.
Yeah,
like,
got back last night from Charleston, South Carolina. Yeah. Nice down there, ain't it?
It was very nice. Very nice. Really enjoyed it.
All bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, ready to get after it now.
Sure, I wouldn't go that far, but I'm here, though.
Same.
I'm here for you, Jim.
Same here. but there's a lot to get to over the next 3 hours, as we do have a full show today. We will get to the Patriots missing out on more players this week. I feel like you've missed a lot this week and what felt
have
like.
Have I? What have I missed?
Well, it started off as kind of like a slow week, and then we have the Sports Hub Celtic show coming up in about an hour.
I can't wait for that.
A lot going on there with that team as they've now dropped a couple straight against Denver and the ugly loss in Philadelphia.
Yeah, I have some thoughts.
Yeah, because there was a lot that went on in that game, and even ahead of that game, we had Kyrie Irving showing yet again not a leader. So that's all coming up in the 12 o'clock hour. We will talk a little bit about the Patriots. We have breaking news with the Bruins this morning, some good, some bad. We'll get to that, along with Ty Anderson, who does a great job covering the team for 98.5sportshub.com and others as well. But he is the guy to talk to when it comes to the Bruins. We'll be talking to him right around 11:50. But let's start with the Sox, because there's a lot going on with them, too, starting with the extension for Chris Sale. They formally announced this deal today to the Red Sox. This broke yesterday. Kicks in this deal starting in 2020, 5 years, $145 million. Much more to the deal that was originally reported as well. This contract includes an opt-out clause, a no-trade clause, a club vesting option. This all according to MLB.com's Mark Feinsand. But Chris Sale getting this deal, your thoughts on it just on the surface, because while I like it for both sides and from an AAV standpoint, I think it makes sense. I just wish they would have waited. This was my only thing. Because of his physical makeup, because of the way that he's broke down the last couple of seasons, and they had a really big injury scare with him last year, I would have given this to him, but I just would have waited until this season just to see whether or not that shoulder breaks down yet again.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I mean, I think they're getting a discount based on the talent. The question, of course, is the durability. I mean, when you look at Chris Sale, there's no question about his ability, but it's how good is he going to be in the months that really matter for you, September and October. You're talking about a guy with a postseason ERA of 5.76, and you know, I know he got the last three outs of the World Series, but he was not the Chris Sale that you would expect him to be in the postseason. They didn't need him to be, and ended up working out because David Price stepped up. But I think when you look at this contract, you could have probably done the same deal for him a month or two into the season, you know, and just sort of see how he's doing coming back from that shoulder tendonitis or whatever they're calling it that sapped him of some of his velocity last year, and where he didn't really look like the same guy except for in short stints or coming out of the bullpen. The other thing about this too, Jim, is that overall, I feel like they have a lot of money tied up in pitchers who are going into their 30s. You know, he's 29 years old. He turns 30 March 30th. And this deal doesn't kick in until next year. He's going to play this year on the last year of the deal he signed with the White Sox for $15 million. So this deal is about 31, 32, 33, 34, 35. What's he going to look like at that point? And now you have 33-year-old David Price. Even Evaldi's 29 with the history of injury problems. So do you get concerned at all how much money they have tied up in guys that are going into their 30s in that starting rotation?
Not concerned, no. I just think that the one thing I find kind of interesting is it feels like it's almost a bit of an overreaction considering how they handled John Lester years ago. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, well, that's, the owner referenced it.
That's what this kind of reeks of a little bit. Like, this is an admission of a mistake with John Lester. They're obviously invested in pitching with those three names that you just rattled off, including Sale and this deal getting formally announced by the team today. And I don't blame them for it. That's where their strength lies. But It's just one big contradiction in regard to how they handled Lester years ago.
Well, look, it's always good to learn from your mistakes, and so I appreciate that. It's just that Chris Sale and John Lester are different pitchers. Sale's more talented than Lester, but Lester's a horse, and he always has been.
Right.
I mean, his durability's off the charts, and he was also a guy that delivered for you big time, particularly in 2013 in the playoffs. I mean, he's a guy you just strap a yoke on that guy, and he'll take you to the promised land. Sale's a little different. The biggest question about his career has been sustainability. You know, he should have won the Cy Young last year, and he would have if he had been able to stay healthy and stay on point. And I know his first year here, he led the major leagues in innings pitched, so it's hard to say, well, you know, durability. But he clearly was taxed and fading at the end of that year and then didn't pitch well against Houston in the playoffs. So I really like the player. I think overall the contract is a good one for both sides. You know, it's your typical win-win. But to your point, I don't think there was really any harm in waiting a month or two into the season just to make sure that shoulder's still good before you give him this deal.
And I don't doubt that they have concerns about his physical makeup. They'd be crazy not to. But I wonder, and I don't blame him for this, did some of this have to do with the fact of how good of a clubhouse presence he is?
Probably, yeah. And that he really likes playing here, and he's a good ambassador for what it means to play in Boston.
Yeah, the other thing that happened this week is that Mookie Betts, just a day after Mike Trout got a near $500 million extension with the Angels for 12 years now, $435 million, I think is what the number was. But it's a ridiculous, crazy number. But this is the way the market dictates the value in Major League Baseball. But the very next day, Mookie Betts down in Fort Myers telling reporters, yeah, no, I'm going to wait a couple of years and wait to go to be a free agent. There was a report from, I believe it was Jeff Passan, that said that the Red Sox went to him in 2017 with an 8-year deal at $200 million. He rejected that. Any concerns there?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think, you know, I've read some of the stuff that happened while I was away and people's reactions to what he said. And, you know, I think it's sort of Pollyanna-ish at this point. Like, it's pretty clear to me that there's something that's stopping him from making the long-term commitment here. And in the comments that he had down there in Fort Myers, and I'm reading from Alex Spear's piece here, you know, he talked about how he feels about being a member of the Red Sox. And he mentioned a lot of things. You know, I love it here. I love to be here. I love my teammates, the front office, the coaches, everybody. I couldn't ask for a better organization. What's missing from that? There's nothing that says I love the fans. I love the Boston baseball experience. I love what it means to be a Red Sox and the pressure that comes with it.
Doesn't he get that with the city, though? Like, I thought I put that under the city umbrella.
Well, did he say the city? He said, I love it here. He's in Fort Myers when he said it.
No, there was other comments where he said, I love Boston. I've been in all week for Felgren,
yeah,
Maz,
sure.
And McCone, who's been here the last few days, too. He can attest to this. I actually think that he handled this pretty well.
Oh, he did. Oh, he's a master of that. But I guess what I'm saying is, to me, this feels a little like Kyrie. Like, you know, do you want to take the guy at face value at what he's saying, or do you want to see the way that he's acting? Which means more to you?
Oh, how he's acting.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, I always felt like you've alluded to the fact that you kind of know a little bit more. I mean, you know, you usually do, and I know Felger breaks your balls about this. Like, oh, he always knows more, and he won't tell us. He's around the players and whatnot. But with Betts, I feel like you're not surprised at this, like that he's going to take this to free agency in a couple of years.
No, and I mean, it's not like I have some great insight. I just think that, look, here's a guy who is from Tennessee, who's used to a certain culture, a certain lifestyle, and, you know, being up in Boston, there's a lot of scrutiny, obviously, here, and I'm not sure he's completely comfortable being the face of a franchise in a city like this.
Where people care a little bit too much.
Yeah, and I also think he's been very guarded while he's here. Like, he's extremely nice and extremely polished, but I never feel like we see his true personality, and I feel like he's a little afraid to show that. And I think he's seen how certain teammates have been treated, and I think maybe that plays into his mindset about staying here long term. I just think, look, at the end of the day, maybe it's all about money. Maybe he just wants to go to free agency and start a crazy, crazy bidding war. I don't know what it is, but it seems like there's something that's holding him back. And when I look at these comments, and I didn't see the ones where I love the city, but I mean, what's he going to say? I hate the city? Yeah, I mean, what's he really going to say? At this point, it just seems like there's something holding him back from staying here, signing here long term.
And you've said for a while now, too, like the Red Sox would be, it would be in their best interest to go to him, dangle money maybe close to what Trout just got. So, yeah. Like, this has been the conversation this week. So why don't you go to him now?
Yeah.
And his agent, dangle a $400 million deal with an extension in front of him.
Yeah.
And if he says no, at least you now know. Well, he really don't want to be here because the money's just going to go up in a couple of years.
Yep.
And then you have the tough decision of what to do with him. And if you should trade him because their farm system's pretty barren, what would you do? If that hypothetical played out, he says no to like a $400 million deal, do you consider trading him?
Not for this year, no. And within that $400 million deal, if I got the sense that part of his hesitation was about committing his family to being here and playing here for 8 to 10 years, you know, then I'll give him an opt-out after 4 years or whatever just to sort of gauge him, you know. How interested are you? Because that's like a no-lose situation.
Sure.
Or I'd give him an opt-out after 3 years, whatever he wants. I mean, he's that good. I wouldn't trade him this year. They're still, to me, in that championship window. I talked about that three-year championship window. They got one last year, right? They have a very good chance, I think, of repeating. So I think he's too valuable to trade this season. If at the end of this year you go to him again and there's still no traction and he's rejecting another deal that's worth, you know, $400 million or whatever it is, then yeah, I'd deal him.
Yeah, and I'm with you on this. It's not this year because outside of the bullpen, which there's some red flags in terms of concerns there, who's your real closer, they're essentially returning the same team. You wouldn't, if they did that, went to him $400 million an extension, he says no, you don't trade him this year because there's a legitimate shot that they can repeat as World Series champions.
Yeah, you can. But you're too much invested.
But the following year? Yeah, that I would actually think about.
I mean, at some point, you can't just let a guy like that walk away for just, you know, picks. I mean, that's he's too talented a player. You somehow have to make a decision there and say, all right, there's something that's preventing him from signing with us long term. It's hard for me to believe that this is about money. Unless, you know, he wants to make $40 million a year. I mean, then maybe it is about money. Maybe he does need to get paid $40 million a year to stay here. But you know what? If I were the Red Sox, I'd give it to him. I would.
Chris Sale's extension. We now have that as the formal announcement by the Red Sox and Chris Sale today. He's speaking. We're trying to get some sound. But if not, we want to hear from you on this, your thoughts on the Chris Sale extension and Mookie Betts essentially telling the team to screw this week. I'm going to be a free agent in a couple of years, and we'll figure it out then. Do I want to be here? Who's to say?
This is Gasper and Murray on 98.5 Sports Hub.
This is a special place. This is a special group of people. A very special city and an unbelievable fan base. Not to mention the fact that, you know, we got a hell of a team, and we're going to have that team for a few years to come. So it's a good place for me. It's a good spot. I love playing here. I'd love to keep playing here. And we'll see how it works out. You know, that's what all this stuff is for. You know, you have agents, contracts, all this stuff. I'm going to let them play that out. And if it works, it works. If not, it's been a blast. You know, I have no hard feelings, no ill will, and just keep doing what I do.
Gasper Murray, 98.5 of Sports Hub. So that was Chris Sale back in February. Really couldn't have said anything better. And today, the Red Sox formally announcing his new extension, which was reported extensively yesterday, but we now know kicks in next year, 2020, officially comes in 5 years, $145 million. And this contract includes a no-trade clause, an opt-out clause, club vesting option. So either way, Chris Sale is here and in the fold. And wouldn't you like to hear, well, I'm sure Red Sox fans would like to hear Mookie Betts say something along those lines, even though I feel like he's kind of handled his situation pretty good this week.
Oh, he's handled it really well. It's just what you read into what he's saying as being something that will equate to what he's ultimately going to do.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's, you got to take it with a grain of salt, much like Kyrie Irving. I think most Celtics fans would love to hear him say something like that. And granted, he did come close when he was in front of all those season ticket holders ahead of the season, but, well, that thing's completely devolved. And so when it comes to Betts, too, even though he's saying it, you don't really trust it either, much like you didn't with Kyrie.
I don't. I mean, I think that, look, I think Mookie's being, you know, genuine in the affection he's expressing for the organization. But I think a lot of times in sports, actions speak louder than words. And so it's what someone doesn't say or what they don't do. And if he, look at Mike Trout, you know, Mike Trout signed that contract, obviously, with the Angels. And it's the richest contract in the history of baseball, richest in the history of North American major professional sports. But he was really adamant about wanting to stay with the Angels. And I hear the things that Mookie is saying, and I think he's saying the right things, but I don't know if the affection or feeling is really truly behind them.
Yeah, there was real passion behind the words of Mike Trout before he signed that. Do you think that there's... So we talked about that midweek here, and do you think that there's almost a... I don't know, something not gutless. That's too strong of a word. I found it a little bit soft that he signed that now rather than going to free agency in a couple of years and try to play in a bigger market where he has a better chance of actually winning a World Series championship. I think there's a tad bit of softness on behalf of Mike Trout signing that deal. And good for him. Like, he's wildly talented.
Yeah,
he deserves that kind of money.
I mean, honestly, it would have been better for baseball for him to go to another market, another team.
Yeah.
I mean, if he were playing in Philly or playing for the Yankees or Chicago, I think that would have been better for baseball instead of him being on the West Coast with the number two team in Los Angeles with an organization that, you know, really doesn't have an identity long-term or historically. So that would have been better. But I think he strikes me as the type of guy. I mean, he's a phenomenal player, phenomenal, phenomenal player, but sort of short on charisma.
So he is a boar's bore.
I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised that he made this decision. I'm not surprised that he sapped it of any sort of drama, because that's Mike Trout.
I played devil's advocate after that deal, and then the Mookie Betts stuff came out the day after. Is there maybe a benefit to this happening for the Red Sox right now? Because there's those that believe, like, I believe he's the 1B to Mike Trout in terms of a positional player in baseball in terms of talent.
Yep.
But I think that there's those that say, okay, he's only been in the league a handful of years here, and he just won his first MVP, obviously felt like he kind of maybe got screwed a few years back. But is he Andrew McCutchen, you know, who kind of same body type, won the MVP in 2013.
Been a long time comparison for him,
and he really hasn't been the same player since he won the MVP. Is there maybe a benefit for this not happening right now? Because there's maybe no worse time to sign Mookie Betts coming off the MVP season, and maybe he... I don't know. Maybe he becomes Andrew McCutchen.
Well, look, if you sign him now, you're definitely paying the peak price, because he's coming off, as you mentioned, an MVP season, and he's coming off a season where he was a transcendent player in Major League Baseball. So you're getting him sort of at his peak. So there's no question about that. On the other hand, though, if you're the Red Sox, a big part of your team and your success on the field is him maintaining that peak, right? So is he going to get cheaper? And if he gets cheaper, that probably means you didn't have a great year.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. 617-779-0985. I want to join the show here today as we're open up talking about the Red Sox, Chris Sale's contract, Mookie Betts' comments this week saying, eh, screw, I'll see you in a couple of years. Mike in Maine, you're first up here on Gasper Murray. Hey, Mike.
Hey, how you guys doing? Good. So, yeah, we all know Sale's kind of a different person, different cat, different player. You know, we are all kind of talking about not really sure what he would do for a contract. Correct me if I'm wrong, and I know you guys said this, so I apologize for not being able to listen fully, but his... His 5 years is just a straight extension, no opt-outs or anything like that, right?
Well, there was more that we learned about it today. There is an opt-out clause. There's a no-trade clause, club vesting option. The opt-out is after 2022.
Player opt-out?
Player opt-out.
Yes, player opt-out.
Player opt-out.
Well, so, I mean, it's not a bad one. Obviously, you know, Sale breaks down, but I think we can all agree that he is a true ace, especially if he could stay healthy. My thinking outside the box thought is, you know, what if this allows him to stop pushing himself for, you know, getting to that 300 strikeout mark, or, you know, pushing to get the extra innings or the extra wins here and there.
But he's never been about money. You know, none of doing that stuff. There was no part of doing that stuff for him that was about money or free agency or cashing in. You know what I mean?
Well, we know he could have gotten a longer deal in free agency if he hit next year. So I wonder if the Red Sox just thought, well, hey, let's gamble on it. And if he... You know, if he has a great season, then we win here. And if not, I mean, we still have an ace that maybe we just have to manage his innings for a few years. And, I mean, at least it's not a 7-year, you know, crippling contract like they had given Price.
Absolutely. And, I mean, I look at this deal. I do think it's a team-friendly deal. You look at a guy like Zach Greinke, whose AAV is more than $34 million a year. The AAV on this average annual value for Sale is $29 million. So it's definitely a hometown discount. It's just a question of, like, if he pitches like Chris Sale, this deal's a steal.
Yeah.
The only question, it's not a question of ability and whether the guy's worth it. It's a question of whether he has the durability to be able to make it through the contract as the guy that you're paying for.
Yeah, and so for those like myself that are like, ugh, I'll just wait until after 2019 and then give him an extension. Well, the counter to that is, okay, yeah, he broke down, but it's not like he went under the knife, you know? It's not like he had any kind of surgery, and it was that. But it did feel like that. I mean, that was a massive scare for them. And granted, he came back into the World Series and, you know, closed the damn thing out and made Manny Machado look like a complete fool. But I don't know how you just don't look at the guy and his physical makeup and have a concern there about whether or not he's going to break down. Because it feels like it's just eventually going to happen.
And Maz has brought this up in the past, too. It's not just looking at his physical makeup. Look at his history. It has happened consistently. So, I mean, you can go back and look at, there are stats, obviously, that really work in his favor. His numbers are phenomenal. It's basically Chris Sale, Clayton Kershaw, when you talk about incredible numbers like this. Like, he's finished in the top six in the Cy Young Award voting 7 consecutive years, yet he's never won it. Is that because he's not good enough? No, it's because he's never really been able to sort of, like, complete the Cy Young-type season that he's having. So you go and look at his history, he has a history of slowing down and of fading when you get into August and September, and then we've seen what he's done in the postseason. So if you want to look at it and say, okay, I'm going to pay this guy to be the best pitcher in baseball from April through August, and then in September and October, I recognize that he's not going to be the same guy, but he's still going to be pretty good, then I think that's okay as long as you go into that and that's your understanding. But if you walk into the deal and you think, okay, I'm getting Clayton Kershaw type of pitching in his prime all the way through April through October through the playoffs, I don't know how you can make that assumption based on the guy's history.
617-779-0985. You want to join Gasper and Murray here this morning as we're opening up talking about the Red Sox, Mookie Betts. Maybe making the Red Sox sweat here, as he's not going to be signing an extension. He wants to go to free agency in a couple of years. And the Chris Sale deal formally announced today. Again, 617-779-0985. You'll want to weigh in on that. And Chris, I want to know your expectations for the Red Sox this coming season. We'll get to that right after the Sports Hub headlines here with Tim McCone, who has some breaking Bruins news for you. Back after this, Gasper.
You're listening to Gasper and Murray.
Fantastic chemistry.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Definitely keep your ears open and see what's said, but that doesn't mean that you necessarily have to agree on or take whatever is given. So, you know, like I said, I love it here. I think this is a great place to be, spend your career here, but it doesn't mean sell yourself short.
Mookie Betts this week, he knows his worth. And that means he's going to wait until he gets to free agency in a couple of years. Essentially, I've been referring to it as Mookie Betts telling the Red Sox to screw this week. It's not that harsh, but I don't know. In a lot of ways, I mean, if you see some of these deals that are going down, like Mike Trout's this week, and if he is really happy here, maybe this is the best place for him to continue to have the best place to best opportunity to win championships. Wouldn't you want to sign an extension right now if the Red Sox went to you, Mookie Betts, with a deal of $380-400 million in terms of an extension? Wouldn't you want to sign that? And if he says no, well, then what? I think you would have to consider trading him as even though I think a lot of Red Sox fans hear that and their immediate reaction, and I get it, it's like, but you can't trade Mookie Betts. But if you know he's going to go, if they went to him with that hypothetical deal of like $400 million, if you think he's worth it, he's the 1B to Mike Trout, and he says no, well, then what? You can't get nothing in return.
Yeah,
but I wouldn't do it this season.
No, I totally wouldn't do it this season. And look, you know, let me look at this from a different standpoint, and this just sort of occurred to me. Maybe it's not about Mookie being non-committal. Maybe it's not about Mookie being ambivalent. Maybe this is just a genius negotiating strategy to just seem like you're not really sold on being here, and so you force him to really jack it up to get to a ridiculous number that they wouldn't otherwise, because they would feel like, well, you know, things you just mentioned, this is a great place to play with passionate fans, and we're a contender every year, and you should value that. So, you know, here's $33 million instead of $35 million. Well, one way around that is basically to be like, yeah, I don't know if I really like your place that much, and in 2 years, I plan to go. And then they're like, whoa, hold on a second, here's $37 million. So, I mean, maybe it's all a negotiating ploy. I don't think that's the case, but if it is a negotiating ploy, it's kind of a genius one on Mookie Betts' part.
Yeah, maybe he's being a Sox tease.
Maybe he is. And Chris Sale was the complete opposite. He made it very well known that he loved playing here, that he really didn't care about how much was on the contract. And then he ends up with the contract that he got, which is good. It's a good deal. But I'm sure the Red Sox used that leverage against him in the negotiation. I'm a little surprised that his deal's not even $30 million a year. It's 29, so, you know, I understand, you know, we're parsing a little bit, but for a guy of Chris Sale's caliber, not $30 million a year on the AAV, it's a good deal for the Sox.
Yeah, but you can't do it this year because they really do, I think, have a legitimate shot of repeating as World Series champion, despite my concerns. And I think rightful concerns about that bullpen, because I still don't know who the hell the closer is going to be, and most of them got lit up throughout spring training. But they have a good chance of repeating this year. But overall, your expectations for the team and who can push them in the American League, and is there maybe a dark horse outside of the Yankees and the Houston Astros?
Yeah, I like Cleveland because their division is bad, and there was a lot of talk in the offseason that they were going to have to sell guys off, Corey Kluber, Trevor Bauer, and they ended up not doing that. They didn't sell guys off. And so when I look at their team, I think that rotation, you know, people don't talk about Mike Clevinger. He's pretty good, too. You still have Carlos Carrasco. I think that rotation is the best rotation in the American League. They had a lot of bullpen issues last year. Let's see if they can fix that and solve that. That's also a very talented team. Guys like Francisco Lindor, who's outstanding. You know, he's still on that team. So when you look at them and with Terry Francona and how bad I think their division is with Kansas City, Chicago, Minnesota, you know, being in there, Detroit, all those teams to me are either rebuilding or in flux. That should make it easier for the Indians, where I feel like the Red Sox and the Yankees have to slug it out, and Tampa Bay's pretty good. If you're the Astros, you have to worry about the Angels and the A's and the Rangers. I think Cleveland could be a dark horse in the American League just because I don't think their division's that good.
Yeah, Cleveland, and I'm glad you mentioned Tampa because I said this yesterday. I feel like people forget that team won 90 games last year, and it wasn't a fluke, especially in the second half. Like, offensively, like, they were a pest. So I'm not going to say that they're really going to, you know, truly compete to win the American League East, but I think that they're good enough to win 90-ish games again, maybe 93, 94 games, and they'll be enough to be a pain in the ass, I think, both for the Red Sox and for the Yankees this year. Overall, though, and I asked the same question to McCone and Christian Arcand yesterday, Are you pumped? Are you at least ready for baseball yet? Because I know I'm not.
No, I'm kind of still like, oh, this now? It feels a little early. It does. But once the games get rolling, you sort of get into it. The great thing about baseball is it's not just about your team. It's about the nightly slate of games and what happens. And I sort of get sucked into that. You know, it's in some ways, it's like the NBA, too. I mean, obviously, you care about your team, but it's like, what's going on around the rest of the league? What are the trends in the league? What happened in this game or that game? So once it really gets rolling and you have all the games, you know, in the first couple of weeks, it feels like it's sort of stilted. You know, it stops and it starts and there's these day games and, you know, then they take a day off and all that other stuff. But once it gets going, you get back into it pretty quickly.
Yeah, but that sport, man, they keep tripping all over themselves. I mean, do people realize it actually started this week with some games in Tokyo, Japan that were aired at, oh, I don't know, 5:30 in the morning. And if you're on the West Coast, too, because it was the A's and the Seattle Mariners, correct? I know the Mariners were involved because
yes.
You had
Ichiro. The A's and the
Mariners. You had Ichiro retire. So if you legitimately care about those teams, you're what? You're waking up at 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning to actually watch those games? Like, the sport just can't get the hell out of its own way. But you want to weigh in on the Mookie Betts conversation this week, and then he's telling the Red Sox, hey, screw, I'll see you in a couple of years when I get to free agency, and the extension for Chris Sale. Let's go to Arthur in the car. Arday, hello.
Yeah, hey, good morning, guys. How's it going today?
Good, thank you.
Good. Hey, listen, I just wanted to bring up Mookie Betts. I'm kind of scared. I don't think he really wants to be here, because why wouldn't you take a huge extension now in which you can get an opt-out? You had a down year 2 years ago, so who knows that you're not going to have another one. If he wanted to be here, why wouldn't you take that money? Chris, you were saying, well, maybe he can get the Sox to offer him 35 instead of 33. It's a couple million. You're really going to squabble over that when you could fail and not get the money? So to me, this is an indication he does not want to be here. He wants to play somewhere else.
Thanks, Arthur. And you think it has to do with the overall climate of maybe people care too much, or maybe he just doesn't really like it here. You're not taking him at his word when he says, I love Boston.
Yeah, I'm not. Sorry. I don't think he dislikes it. I think he likes it. But do I think he loves it? I do not know.
And you alluded to maybe he sees how some teammates have been treated here. And
maybe some teammates who also hail from Tennessee.
I was going to say, could that be a fellow Tennessean in David Price?
I wouldn't be surprised, Jim.
Do you know something there?
No, I'm just saying I would not be surprised. Okay. I mean, I think that, you know, Price is somewhat of a mentor to some of the guys in that clubhouse. And Mookie and Price are from the same area. And it hasn't been easy here for David Price. Obviously, it turned around with his tremendous performance in the postseason, much to your chagrin. And when you look at but when you look at overall sort of the way he was treated here. So You know, I went back to this one when it happened, too. Just sort of compare and contrast, and I get it. Chris Sale's a transcendent pitcher, and his first year here, amazing. You know, 308 strikeouts, second most in the history of the Red Sox. But the way his postseason failure was handled for the Red Sox versus David Price's postseason failure for the Red Sox, completely different that first year. And I understand that Price had a track record of prior postseason failure. So I get that, and that makes it a little different. But the reality is, when we're talking about that postseason failure, we're really only talking, like, what happened for your team, right? Because isn't that, aren't we usually really parochial around here?
Yeah.
It's not about what happened elsewhere, whatever. It's what did you do for us? Well, when it came down to what happened when it was your team, you only really had that Cleveland series to go on, and it was completely different. So, I mean, I think guys in the clubhouse sort of pay attention to that a little bit, and they're aware of it. You know, how people are regarded, how people are treated, who's allowed to be maybe a little more outspoken than somebody else. And I think those are all factors that could play into somebody's decision.
And say what you will about David Price, and Lord knows I have. He is a good teammate to those guys, you know, and just in, you can just tell. And plus with the other things like buying them Jordan cleats and whatnot,
yeah.
You can tell that he gets the respect of those yep. guys in the clubhouse. So I can understand why someone like Mookie Betts yeah. would maybe be a little bit overprotective.
And by the way, when I say the way you're treated, right, I'm not just talking about fans, I'm media. Like, I've never gotten the sense that Mookie is entirely comfortable with the media attention that comes with playing with the Boston Red Sox. It's a lot. I mean, there's a lot of media members. It's an intense media. I know Shaughnessy's somewhere listening and laughing because he thinks we've all yeah. gone soft. But, you know, it's one of the more intense media corps in Major League Baseball. And that's a lot of attention. And you sort of always have to be on your P's and Q's and making sure that you say the right thing and that it, you know, anything you say could become like a huge thing that gets talked about for 4 or 5 days by guys like us.
Yeah.
You go and play in, I don't know, a place you've been, Atlanta. Is it the same?
Oh, God, no. No. I mean, most people in Atlanta couldn't pick Ronald Acuna out of a lineup. They really couldn't. So, a lot of guys are more comfortable with that. I understand that. Coming up, Ty Anderson of 98.5sportshub.com. He's going to join us to discuss the extension that was announced this morning for Bruins defenseman Zdeno Chara, and also how the Bruins are going to handle the loss of Sean Corrales. So you have good news for the Bees today and bad news for the Bees. We'll talk to Ty next here in our long commercial-free segment that will lead into the Sports Hub Celtics show. Gasper and Murray, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Stay tuned for more Gasper and Murray on 98.5 The Sports Hub. This is Gasper and Murray.
You will listen.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Controlled by McAvoy, and he'll wait it out back of the net. The Boston Bruins going to improve to 2-0 thus far on a four-game road trip. The horn sounds. They record a 5-1 victory over the Devils. Take 2 of 3 in the season series. And it'll be the Bruins heading to Florida with a 6-point lead over the Maple Leafs with 8 games remaining in the regular season.
Gasper Murray, 98.5 The Sports Hub. That is our own Judd Surratt with the call of the Bruins' last game. A dominant 5-1 win over the putrid New Jersey Devils. You can catch Judd and Bob Beers once again with a call tonight. Bruins take on the Florida Panthers here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. The puck drop a little after 7 o'clock. But there is bigger news in regard to the Boston Bruins this morning. Both good and bad. So to talk about that, joining us here in the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline, it's our very own Ty Anderson. Do read his work at 98.5sportshub.com. You'll occasionally hear him on random shows here as well. Good morning there, Ty.
Hey, what's going on, Jim?
So the big news of the day, we'll start with the good. That is Zdeno Chara. The Bruins announced this morning that Zdeno Chara has been signed to a one-year contract extension, keeping him in Boston through the 2020 season. According to the team, it's worth $2 million, another $1.75 million in performance-based incentives. Were you surprised at this news at this point in the season about this extension?
Well, I thought they'd wait till the summer until they sort of nailed down what McAvoy's going to be worth, what Carlo's going to be worth. But they're getting ahead of it, and I think they're doing it at a really good value as well. $2 million is great. I mean, look at it right now. This makes him the fifth most expensive defenseman on their roster signed for next season, and he plays 20 minutes a night. So, I mean, what more can you really ask out of that? And with these bonuses, they're not going to really kill the Bruins. You know, you look at the Iginla contract back in 2013. That was a one-year deal for $1.5 million, but with about $3.5 million in bonuses, which ended up killing them the following summer when they couldn't keep anybody or sign anybody and had to trade Johnny Boychuk. So this is a really good value from that front. And I guess it almost makes sense the more I thought about it. They're all down in Florida right now. They're hanging out with Jeremy Jacobs. Pretty much the whole organization is down there, so why not sit at the table and and sort of map this out, hammer this out, and move on from there. So the timing is surprising, yes, but I guess it makes sense in the grand scheme of things.
Is it also something, too, Ty, where it maybe buys them a little time for further development of some of the young defensemen in the pipeline, like a Vaakanainen?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think, you know, you're finding ways to sort of develop but also keep your core intact. You know, this contract is not going to restrict them from being able to, say, trade a guy this offseason if they feel like one of those players is ready or if they find a way to upgrade their roster elsewhere. So I think that, you know, this is one of those – you don't want to ever say, well, you can't do this because you have this guy on your books for, you know, $4.5 or $5 million. I think you're seeing that right now with David Backes, right? Carlson Kuhlman, who got called up today, he'd be in the lineup regularly if David Backes wasn't on the hook for $6 million for the next few years. So it is about buying time, but also allowing those opportunities to sort of develop naturally.
All right, so let's get to the bad news. I mean, the Chara thing's great, and I don't, just real quick, like, I don't have any concerns in regard to the age. Like, if anyone could look at this, we're like, well, he's 42. Yeah, he's 42 with the body of, like, a 30-year-old, and he works out like an absolute psycho. So that's the good. The bad, the Bruins also announced that Sean Corrali going to be out for at least a month, broken right hand. Feels like there couldn't be any worse timing here. So your level of concern with the Sean Corrali news?
Pretty big. I think he was really playing probably some of the best hockey that we've seen him play, especially down the stretch. He was really sort of settling in as their third line center, with Coyle being a second line right winger. Coyle's fit is still sort of up in the air. You don't know where he's going to be come game one. So yeah, this is a big loss for them. And I think one of the problems I have with this is that Corrali is really sort of a momentum guy. And against the Maple Leafs, which I think they're a softer team down the middle, I think you can bother Tavares. I think you can bother Austin Matthews. You know, Nazem Kadri is sort of like their emotional spark plug. And I look at that and I say, wow, I really could have, you know, seen Corrali being the guy and sort of neutralize that and be hard to play against. So maybe he's back by game one. I would sort of doubt it. If the recovery is 4 weeks, that sort of is around game seven, you know, game five of a series. And you wonder how effective he would be. It's a broken hand. He's better off as a left-handed centerman, which they don't have a ton of. So that's going to be a big loss, I think, really. And I wonder how it all shakes out now. If Nordstrom moves back to center or if David Backes moves back to center, obviously they have Coyle, which helps. But down in the bottom six, where is that emotion? Where is that spark? You know, where's that energy, if you will, coming from? Because I think Corrali provides that and then some.
Yeah, obviously that's going to be a huge loss for the Bruins. So in his absence, Ty, who do you expect to step up and who has to step up?
Well, I think Coyle's going to move back to center. He only has 2 points through 13 games. He needs to get on the board. He needs to do something more. At the same time, though, you need to put him with better players, in my opinion. You can't stick him with Nordstrom and Backes and say, hey, go out and score some goals. It's not going to happen. So I think maybe that third line develops now. Maybe you put Heinen with Coyle, and you rely on those two guys to provide that energy and provide that life in all three zones, which I think they've shown an ability to do that separately. Let's see if they can do it together now. So you look at those two guys and down that roster, Chris Wagner, can he continue to be that seventh player that you know, that extra body is providing you some offense that you didn't expect? So I would say it's going to be those three guys that you're going to lean on now a bit more than you would if Corrali were healthy.
Talking Bruins with our very own Ty Anderson. Read his work, 98.5sportshub.com. He's with us here in the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. So we get the return of David Pastrnak this week, Ty. The second game, already put the puck in the net in this win over the New Jersey Devils the other night. Do you want to see them leave Pastrnak on the top line until the playoffs, or should he be back with Krejci here just to, as he's getting the rust off of him?
I would say you leave him with Bergeron and Marchand now and in the playoffs. I know that sounds crazy because that's why they lost that. Last year, they didn't have balance, but I think that line is simply too good. It's so hard to break them up because they basically account for a line and a half. You look at their production. So I don't want to rob from the greatest line in hockey to maybe make the second line a little bit better. I think Johansson, when he's healthy, has been good with DeBrusque and Krejci. You need a larger sample size, I know, but I think that line could work against. And I look back at last year with Toronto. That Bergeron line destroyed the Maple Leafs. I don't want to flip them up because I think that they could do the same thing against the Leafs this year. So I think right now you got to keep him there, and you got to hope that David Krejci, who is playing probably the best hockey that he's played in maybe 6 or 7 years now, you hope he can continue to be a driver with DeBrusk and whoever else they put there. I know it's been Coyle recently, but tonight that's probably going to be different. But I think those guys, I mean, they should be able to hang with El Pastrnak. And, you know, that first line, again, it's just so good. I don't want to break them up.
All right, one last thing, Ty. Scale of 1 to 10, what'd you give that jawbreaker show at the House of Blues last night?
I would give it like a 6. Emotionally, I'd give it like a 10 because I never thought I would see them. But it was a slower set. It was a slower pace to be expected. They're a little bit older now. But I heard what I wanted to hear. I got Boxcar. I got Accident Prone. I got Chemistry. I was happy with it, but definitely a slower pace than I imagined.
Yeah, I know my lady was way into it, too, so it was good to see you there, pal. That's Ty Anderson, 98.5 of Sports Hub. You want to read his instant reaction on the Bruins extension for Zdeno Chara for another season? Just retweeted that. Read it at 98.5sportshub.com. Thanks for joining us, Ty.
Anytime, guys. Thanks for having me.
Again, that's Ty Anderson here on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Okay, so that was good and bad news for the Bees. We have to get to the Celtics. A lot to get to with this team, Chris. You missed quite a bit while you were out.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I did.
From Kyrie's, some great comments proving what a leader he is before the eventual loss to the 76ers. We had the return of Isaiah Thomas to Boston this week as the Denver Nuggets came in and ended up waxing the Celtics. Actually, not waxing them. They felt like it kind of gave it away, but it's been an ugly couple of games for the Celtics. A lot to get to with this team. The Marcus Smart ejection from the 76ers game. We'll get to all this in the Sports Hub Celtics show right after the Sports Hub headlines here with Tim McCone. It's 98.5 of Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.